very honored to speak on his appearance day. There's such a vast amount of information that we can gain about Lord Nityananda from Srila Prabhupada's presentation and the Vaishnavas that it's going to be clear that we won't be able to cover it in the 30 minutes or the 40 minutes that we have. So I've chosen to focus on a couple aspects of Lord Nityananda. So that's my intention today. You won't get a whole overview. And perhaps in your spare time today and tomorrow, or when he's still fresh in our minds, we can, you know, individually, you know, look a little more deeper into Lord Nityananda. But today we're going to focus on a few aspects. I will do a little bit. Is that okay? So before we'll chant some invocation. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Ghora Bhaktavinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Ghora Bhaktavinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Ghora Bhaktavinda. So I ask permission that we leave the curtains open today. So we can see Nityananda as we talk about him. And you can't separate Nityananda from Lord Chaitanya. We'll cover that a little bit as well. But, you know, we can, time to time, you know, I don't know if it's a distraction sometimes for our normal class, but today we want to be distracted. So feel free to be distracted to Lord Nityananda as we talk about him. So, as I said, we're just going to cover a few of the basic truths of Lord Nityananda and not concentrate on it, because the whole presentation of Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's so much on Lord Nityananda, specifically Adi Lila Chapter 5. If you have time, you can really dive deep into Nityananda Katha and the truth of Lord Nityananda. But I've taken some notes and I've kind of summarized a lot of these into, you know, just a short thing. And I'm not even going to read all the notes. I'm just going to skim over it. But basically, just for simple understanding, Lord Nityananda is the eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya. And we rarely ever see Lord Nityananda or Lord Chaitanya without Lord Nityananda. So there's always Gorni Tai. Mahaprabhu cannot be approached or understood without the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So we're going to concentrate on that particular aspect of Lord Nityananda a little later. But these are one of the truths that you'll find in the Adi Lila Chapter 5. He is also known as the Adi Guru, or original spiritual master for everyone. Just as, and why? Why is that? Because he is non-different from Balaram, who is also considered the Adi Guru, or the spiritual master. So, also, he is the active principle in both creation and Leela of Krishna's pastimes. So again, more in the Adi Leela. We see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita presentation, Krishna's Kaviraj is almost in a very dramatic way of how he's presenting Nityananda. It's, you know, first he's saying he is the source of all the Vishnus. He's Maha Sankarshan, the source of all Vishnus, Vishnu Tattva. And he encapsulates all this in five verses, and then he speaks a whole chapter, like a purport to these five verses. And it's very dramatic if you can get into it. Sometimes the purports are very long, and sometimes the explanation is very detailed. But if you can really get into it and dive into it, you see it's a very dramatic presentation of Lord Nityananda. That, you know, the source of everything, this Mahasankarshan, the source of the quadruple expansions. And then time and time again, Krishnadas Kaviraj comes back, and that is Nityananda Prabhu, you know. So again and again we see that he's not just an incarnation, but he's the source of all incarnations. And he does this as the Leela, just as Lord Balaram, for his Leela and his seva to Krishna, he manifests himself as Krishna's sitting place, his Brahmin thread, his slippers, his umbrella. These are manifestations of Balaram, and it's all just to serve and enhance Krishna's pastime. So Nityananda is the same. And oftentimes we say Nityananda Ram, right? Lord Nityananda Ram. So Nityananda Balaram, the same personality. And Prabhupada, in his presentation of Krishna Balaram, you know, here now in Alachua County, we are so fortunate Krishna Balaram has come. But that was his idea in Vrindavan as well. In Vrindavan, there's so much concentration, Radha Krishna. But this very important point, you cannot understand Radha and Krishna without understanding or without the mercy of Lord Gornitai, Lord Chaitanya Nityananda. And so Prabhupada's presentation of the Krishna Balaram temple is, yeah, there's Radhesham, Lalita Vishakha, but Radhesham is non-different from Krishna, and Krishna and Balaram, they are together, and non-different from Krishna and Balaram are Gornitai. And so there's that gradual understanding of mercy and receiving of mercy. First, the Adi Guru, and that Adi Guru is representing Lord Nityananda. And Nityananda, he is giving the mercy to approach Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya is giving us the mercy and capability of approaching Radha and Krishna. So these are the truths that Krishnadas Kaviraj is driving home in the Adi Leela 5th chapter. So if you have time, you know, take some time to study that. It's very wonderful. And Prabhupada's purports are wonderful as well. And then just a short understanding of Nityananda's manifest pastimes. He was born in a village called Ekachakra in West Bengal. Prabhu's from India, do you know where this, how far away from that, from Mayapur? 4 hours. Is it west, east, north, south? Which way? Yeah, but just if we look on the map, because a lot of us know where. North, okay. So Ekachakra is a village, and he took birth about 12 years before Lord Chaitanya's appearance. And his parents were Hadai Pandit and Padmavati. And Nityananda's childhood pastimes are depicted in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Especially, and they are so wonderful that devotees get great bliss. And, I guess the most famous pastime of Lord Nityananda's childhood is his depicting Krishna Leela with his friends, his cowherd boys. And Nityananda had his own set of cowherd boyfriends. And every day they would enact Krishna's pastimes with each other. Ram Leela, Krishna Leela, again and again, and it became such an event that all the villagers would just, you know, they would be amazed at seeing these pastimes of Nityananda. And Nityananda's favorite of all these pastimes was the Ram Leela, in which he was playing the part of Lakshmana. And so there's also a description of, you know, Krishna and Balaram when they're incarnating, that they first incarnated or manifested as Ram and Lakshman. And Lakshman was the younger brother. And he wanted to serve, you know, this is his eternal relationship, Balaram's eternal relationship, Nityananda's relationship to serve. But as the subordinate, as Lakshman, he couldn't serve to his full desire. So in subsequent incarnations, he became the elder brother. But in this mood of Lakshmana, they would be performing Ram Leela day after day. One part of the Leela, they would be in the forest. And another part of Leela, they'd be building a bridge. Another day, they would be attacking Ravan. Another day, they would be, you know, reuniting Ram and Sita. So every day, more and more of these pastimes would be manifest. And who better to manifest these pastimes than Krishna and Balaram themselves, or Ram and Lakshman themselves? So Nityananda, being Lakshman, not the same personality, he was able to give, wow, it's to total amazement to the people. And one of the most touching pastimes of this Leela. One day they were fighting. You know, some were the monkeys and some were on Lakshman's side, and the others were the Rakshasas, and they were fighting. Then all of a sudden, Nityananda fell unconscious, and you know, it was part of the play. So everybody thought, okay, all right, let's get up. You know, but Nityananda was really unconscious, and they even, you know, all signs of life had left him. And then, so the boys, they got worried that all of a sudden, wow, Nityananda, it looks like he's left his body. So it was no longer play, it was, you know, this panic. And then, you know, the villagers heard it, and Hadai Pandit and Padmavati, they heard it, and they came running, and they were in great sorrow. Oh, Nityananda, Nityananda. And then one of the more intelligent boys, I believe it was, oh no, one of the more intelligent villagers, they said, well, what were you doing just before he fell down unconscious? Well, we were doing this pastime of what we were fighting, and Lakshman was fighting with Indrajit. Oh, okay. Who was playing Hanuman? And so the boy who was playing Hanuman came up and he said, okay, now you know what happened, right? You go and get some herbs. So this boy, he goes to get the herbs and comes back, and then Nityananda gets up and they're dancing, and it was just so ecstatic for everybody to see this, that it wasn't just a play, it was Nityananda fully experiencing the bhava and love of Lakshmana. So that was his Nitai. It said, at least from the information I got, it was Nitai. So he was always Nitai, Nityananda. As a child, Nitai, as Nityananda Prabhu was called in his childhood. So I've gotten this from different sources, but some of our Brahmana friends may know more detail. But that's all I have. Sorry. We can look it up. So then later, at the age of 13... Lakshmipati Tirtha, who was his initiating spiritual master, came. He was a traveling sannyasi, so Nityananda traveled with him. He left home at that age, and for 20 years, he traveled with Lakshmipati Tirtha all around India. And actually, their path was the same pilgrimage path as taken by Lord Balaram when Balaram left the scene during the Battle of Kurukshetra. Balaram didn't want to take part in the Battle of Kurukshetra, so he went on pilgrimage. And there's a chapter in the Krishna book that you can see the whole pilgrimage, every stop that Balaram took. And so Nityananda and Lakshmipati Tirtha, they went on that same path, or pretty much most of it. And but then when Lord Chaitanya was just 20, 22 or so, Nitai returned to the West Bengal area, and he went to Navadweep, and he was hiding. He went into a devotee's home, and he was hiding, and Lord Chaitanya, he felt Nityananda's presence, and he sent out Haridas and Srivas Thakur. You go out, and there's somebody here. There's somebody out there that can feel their presence. Please go find them. So they couldn't find him. So Lord Chaitanya, he went. And then in Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's this beautiful description of their meeting. They're reuniting themselves. So as we know, Krishna and Balaram were brothers, and Lakshman and Ram were brothers. So Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya were these original brothers, Krishna and Balaram. Although there's no evidence that I have found that they are actually in their manifest forms of Nimai Chaitanya, that they were Nimai and Nittai, that they were actual brothers. They had different parents, but everyone understood them to be Krishna and Balaram, or internal brothers. And the different pastimes, and Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat depict that as well. Yes? Nityananda was 32 and Lord Chaitanya was 20. And Nityananda, actually, he is a godbrother of Advaitacharya and disciple, the both of them. He was initiated by Lakshmipati Tirtha, but he took shiksha from Madhavendra Puri. And so they were senior to Lord Chaitanya in that way. Let's see. So Nityananda Prabhu, in his role as the original spiritual master, was instrumental in spreading the Yuga Dharma of Sankirtan all over Gaur-Desh. So when this reuniting of Krishna and Balaram or Gaur-Nitai happened, it was Lord Chaitanya was performing his Sankirtan Leela in Navadvip. And so together, here's this wonderful picture of the Panchatattva going through the streets of Navadvip, performing Sankirtan. And so many pastimes were there as well. And we'll come back to that. But then Lord Chaitanya, as we know his activities, he went to Jagannath Puri. And Nityananda, he just packed up, I'm going to Jagannath Puri too. Yeah. So they were there for Rath Yatra. But then Lord Chaitanya said, Nitai, you cannot stay here. You know, if you stay here, who will continue delivering the Sankirtan to Navadvip? So you go back. So Nityananda was very sad, but he took the order and he took it with great enthusiasm, and he went back to Bengal, where he took his wife, Janavi Priya, Janava, Mother Janava, and continued the Sankirtan movement. And he would occasionally come back to Jagannath Puri. But even when he'd come back, Lord Chaitanya would say, no, I told you stay in Bengal. So sometimes there was this little friction that, no, you go back, you stay there. So that's kind of just like an overview of Nityananda's life. But I wanted to focus on two pastimes, which depict probably what we most know as Nityananda's mercy, because, you know, just as casual, even if we're casual devotees, or just when we go and hear about Nityananda, we always hear his extreme mercy, his benevolence, as, you know, even greater than that of Lord Chaitanya. And you know, we hear descriptions of Lord Chaitanya, the most munificent, the most charitable. But even more munificent is Lord Nityananda. And these two pastimes that we'll look at are, we'll do that. So the first I wanted to look at is although it's Nityananda is the initiator of this pastime, but it is more of a relationship between Raghunath Das Goswami and Lord Chaitanya. Raghunath Das Goswami was a very rich son. Rich personality. His family was very rich, and so he had all the benefits of being in a rich family. And so, but he had constantly wanted to go and join Lord Chaitanya. Again and again he would go, his parents would drag him back, go and drag him back. So when we hear about Raghunath Das Goswami, we can think, yeah, and this is another really, sorry for another sidebar, but this is a really wonderful thing about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, is that they're very relatable to us. It's not like yesterday we were hearing Varaha Avatar, right? And you know, in some means, our mind struggles with it in some ways. You know, obviously the mind is there and is always trying to give us some doubt. But, you know, with faith and conviction and by the mercy of Krishna and Guru, we accept. But still, there is some, you know, when we first hear about Varaha for the first time, it's like, wow, do these guys really believe that? And for those who say they believe it, what is their realization of it? How do they realize Varaha? And how, you know, cause, you know, it's a fact. There are, you know, so many pastimes of Krishna that, you know, not our tiny brains cannot, and our tiny, positions where we're at, we cannot fully understand. Even the greatest acharyas, they say, again and again, Ananta is saying these glories over and over again. He can never come to the end of it. So, can our understanding come to a fullness of all of Krishna's pastimes? But when we look at the pastimes of Gorni Thai, they're more contemporary. 500 years ago, yeah, that's a long time, but it's not millenniums ago or yugas ago or, you know, creations ago. They're 500 years ago. So that's not bad. Sure, there were no cell phones, there was no internet, there was no cars. But still, what we hear, there was prasadam, there was chanting, there was the dress, the sikas, the deities, the festivals, the same things that we have the opportunity to partake in. So they're very relatable. So when we hear about Raghunath Das, we can relate to him. That his impediments, you know, we have so many impediments when we come to Krishna consciousness. And many of us, if we had an impediment like Raghunath Das Goswami, would we have even considered Krishna consciousness? If we were filthy rich, fabulously rich, would we even consider? A lot of us, when we come to Krishna consciousness, is because we're dissatisfied with our material life and we're suffering in some ways. We come to a realization point that, yeah, I'm suffering. I need something higher, something better. And so we're looking. But a lot of people in situations like Raghunath, they're like, you know, oh, everything's nice. Life is fine. And there's some descriptions. I haven't been able to find it in print, but I've heard down the grapevine that Raghunath Das Goswami was so rich that they would cook one puri in the ghee, and then that ghee would be given in charity, and then more ghee would be brought and cook another puri. So that's fabulously rich. We can't even imagine. You know, we're like, you know, hey, can I have 30 pounds for a feast? You know, well, I don't know about that. But it's fabulously rich. And so his impediment was that, and his impediment of his family. So, but we all have impediments. It may not be the same impediment of Raghunath, but we can feel that, you know, I can't on my own get the mercy of Krishna or Lord Chaitanya. I need help. Whatever the impediment we may have, it may be our mind, it may be our senses, it may be a living situation. It's too loud? You can turn it down. Okay. All right, sorry. So so we'll have different impediments. And most of us, it's our mind. And so we need to approach somebody to give us shelter and to give us help. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he just wanted to go to Lord Chaitanya. And again, he was failing. But then, by the grace of Nityananda, Nityananda came near to where he was. And, Raghunath approached him. And he didn't even, and because we hear of the different manifestations of Nityananda, he's also Garbhadakshay Vishnu, Shiradakshay Vishnu, expansion of Paramatma. So he actually knew the heart of Raghunath Das before even Raghunath could express it. So Raghunath comes into a distance, he's bowing down, and the servant in Nityananda says, oh look, Raghunath Das is here. He's offering his obeisances. And Nityananda says, oh, bring him over here. You know, he says, Raghunath, you're a thief. You know, you never come. You never come close. You're always a thief. You're always stealing. So you come here. And so he put his feet on Raghunath's head. And again, Raghunath was not even able to submit his plea. He said, so Nityananda just puts his feet on his head and said, you have, because you're a thief, I want you to make a festival for everybody. You know, do a festival, and I want chipped rice and yogurt, chipped rice and kheer. to do this. And so the description is wonderful in Antya Lila 6, this whole description of this wonderful festival that Raghunath Das Goswami is doing on the order of Nityananda. So much effort, so much, you know, when we do festivals, yeah, we have the same. Everybody's just wound up in it. It's just so wonderful to get together and make a huge festival. And as the festival was getting created, more and more people would come. So the expanding had to go on. There had to be more platforms made, more sitting places. And then they ran out of sitting places. People had to start sitting in the Ganges, on the bank of the Ganges. Maybe brought their plates of prasadam into the Ganges. Here's your stuff, you know. And so it was such a wonderful festival. And then Nityananda was so pleased by it, by his meditation. He brought Lord Chaitanya himself. And then Nityananda started to dance and going to the different groups of people that were sitting. Each group, he would be dancing with Lord Chaitanya. And he'd be feeding him with his own hands. And Lord Chaitanya would be feeding Nityananda. But this manifestation of Lord Chaitanya was only seen by a few. Not everybody saw it. But those who were very fortunate, Krishnadas Kaviraj says, those who were very fortunate, they were able to see Lord Chaitanya. And so this whole dancing went on, and people were just seeing Nityananda. Some people were just seeing Nityananda, kind of like putting his hand in the air, and you know, they were thinking, oh, Nityananda, he's always ecstatic. So we don't know what he's doing, but and so that went on for some time, and then they all took bath, and then they took some rest, and then another festival sprung up from it, because Raghava Pandit was invited, and so he said, come on to my house now, everybody. So everybody went to his house, and he's described as one of the best cooks in Nadi or Navadvip. He was one of the most wonderful, his devotional service was magnified by his devotion and his cooking and his offering to his deities. So Nityananda came and Advaita and all the devotees were there, and again such a nice festival was described. But then what happens after a big festival? You all sack out, right? And then in the next morning you're kind of like wide-eyed, and you know, you're kind of like, whoa, where am I? And right? So this was the next morning. Nityananda, he wasn't affected so much, but he was sitting under the same tree as he was before, when Raghunath first went to see him. So I'm just going to read a few of these verses. In the morning, after taking his bath in the Ganges, Nityananda Prabhu sat down with his associates beneath the same tree under which he had previously sat. Raghunath Das went there and worshipped Lord Nityananda's lotus feet. Through Raghava Pandit, he submitted his desires. So Raghunath was so humble that he wouldn't even approach, you know, he didn't even approach him directly. He said, oh, Raghava Pandit, can you please go tell this to Nityananda? So nice. And these are his words. I am the lowest of men, the most sinful, fallen, and condemned. Nevertheless, I desire to attain the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like a dwarf who wants to catch the moon, I have tried my best many times, but I have never been successful. Every time I tried to go away and give up my home relationships, my father and mother unfortunately kept me bound. No one can attain, and this is the wonderful verse, Tomara kripa vina keha Chaitanya na pai. Tumi kripa kaile tanre adame adama pai. No one can attain the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without your mercy. But if you are merciful, even the lowest of men can attain shelter at his lotus feet. So that's like something we can pray to Nityananda today and forever. That Nityananda, you know, you are the most merciful. We can approach Lord Chaitanya directly, and therefore we cannot approach Krishna, Radha Krishna, either. But by your mercy, because you are the most merciful, you can even grant us, who are the lowest of all persons, you can, by your mercy, you can you can do it. It's Adi 6, 131. Although I am unfit and greatly afraid to submit this plea, I nevertheless request you, sir, to be especially merciful toward me by granting me shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Placing your feet on my head, give me the benediction, that I may achieve the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without difficulty. I pray for this benediction. After hearing this appeal by Raghunath Das, Lord Nityananda Prabhu smiled and told all the devotees, Raghunath Das' standard of material happiness is equal to that of Indra, the king of heaven. Because of the mercy bestowed upon him by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Raghunath Das, although situated in such material happiness, does not like it at all. Therefore, let every one of you be merciful toward him and give him the benediction that he may very soon attain the shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One who experiences the fragrance of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna does not even value the standard of happiness available in Brahma Loka. And what to speak of the heavenly happiness? So there's more verse. He's like glorifying. First of all, he's glorifying Raghunath Das. Look, my dear devotees, you please see, look, his standard of happiness, his standard of material facility is so great, it is like Indra. We can't even describe it. But by Lord Chaitanya, he's asking for Lord Chaitanya's mercy, but he's already gotten it. How is the mercy revealed? He has no taste for it. He has no taste for the material side of things. Then Lord Nityananda Prabhu called Raghunath Das near him, placed his lotus feet upon Raghunath Das's head, and began to speak. So the second time, he put his feet directly on his head. Such an intimate and loving relationship Nityananda had. My dear Raghunath Das, he said, since you arranged the feast on the bank of the Ganges, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here just to show you his mercy. By his causeless mercy, he ate the chipped rice and milk. Then, after seeing the dancing of the devotees at night, he took his supper. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Gaurahari came here personally to deliver you. Now rest assured that all the impediments meant for your bondage are gone. So this is Lord Nityananda's promise. If we come in this humble mood and we beg the service of Lord Chaitanya, he said, be assured, all your impediments will be gone. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will accept you and place you under the charge of his secretary, Swarupa Damodar. You will thus become one of the most confidential internal servants and will attain the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Nityananda had Raghunath Das blessed by all the devotees, and Raghunath Das offered his respects to their lotus feet. So this is like the emblem of when we hear you can't attain Lord Chaitanya's mercy without the mercy of Lord Nityananda. This is the proof, this story here. Raghunath tried so many times. He couldn't obtain Lord Chaitanya. He couldn't escape. But then by this service, the guru, what does the guru do? The guru engages us in service, and he answers our questions, and he answers our doubts. But he engages us in service. So Nityananda engaged him in service, and then he cleared him of all doubts that you will very soon. And then the chapter goes on and on about Raghunath Das's further journey. But we can always see, we can always remember that everything he attained afterward and his position of one of the most confidential servants of Lord Chaitanya, that is all by Nityananda's grace. And actually, Chaitanya Charitamrita itself is by the mercy of Raghunath Das Goswami, because when the six Goswamis were in Vrindavan, they would all come together, and Krishnas Kaviraj would also be. They would all come together at the Radha Damodar temple where Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami's samadhis are, and they would and Raghunath Das would tell them all the stories of Lord Chaitanya. And so That is some of the direct, all of this is directly from the Nityananda mercy, Nityananda's mercy. So that's that. Now we can think, okay, well that's easy. You know, Nityananda can give mercy to the devotees. Raghunath Das certainly was a devotee. He wasn't a rascal. But perhaps the more famous Nityananda pastime, in which is actually one of the more famous dramas of ISKCON and the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, is the deliverance of Jagai and Madhai. And this is a very touching episode of Nityananda's extreme mercy. And throughout it, you get there's so many wonderful things. So I'm going to read here and there through the Chaitanya Bhagavat's description of this. But before I do that, I wanted to just bring our attention to a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which also many of you may know, Nadia Godrumna Nityananda Mahajan. So this song is, there were a few songs, or a couple songs by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This one, and then Boro Sukher Kabhor Gai, where Bhaktivinoda Thakur is expressing his gratitude for Nityananda's opening the marketplace of the holy name. This term is used over and over in some of Bhaktivinoda's teachings or glorification of Nityananda. He opened a marketplace. So you go to a marketplace to buy goods, right? And so when you go to the marketplace of the holy name, you want to buy the holy name. So what is the price for the holy name? The faith. So, right. So in both these songs, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is bringing this wonderful description. But in this one, although he doesn't say it in it, but when we read the description of Jagai Madhai, it becomes very clear where this is coming from. So Nadia Godrumna Nityananda Mahajan Patiyachi Nam Hata Jivra Karan. In the land of Navadvip, on the island of Godrum, the magnanimous Lord Nityananda has opened up the marketplace of the holy name, meant for the deliverance of all fallen souls. Shadhavan Janhe, Shadhavan Janhe, Paburagai Bai Magiye Bika, Bolo Krishna, Bajo Krishna, Koro Krishna Sika. O men of faith, O men of faith, by the order of Lord Gauranga, O brothers, I beg this one request. Chant Krishna, worship Krishna, and follow Krishna's instructions. So these are, as we read the description of Jagai Madhai, these are the direct words of both Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. There is a verse or two where Lord Chaitanya is first telling Haridas and Nityananda, just go out and tell everybody that just worship Krishna, follow Krishna, chant his names. And then when Lord Chaitanya and Haridas are out there, Nityananda and Haridas, and then they're repeating this verse over and over again. Bolo Krishna, Bhajo Krishna, Koro Krishna Sita. Again and again, they're chanting this verse to the people. And then, Aparada Sunya Hoi Loha Krishna Nam, Krishna Matta, Krishna Pita, Krishna Dhanapran. Being careful to remain free of offenses, just take the holy name of Krishna. And then, again, this Krishna Matta, Krishna Pita, Krishna Dhanapran. This is another line of Lord Nityananda's when he's preaching out there to Jagai and Madhai. Krishna is your mother, Krishna is your father, and Krishna is the treasure of your life. So, what is the importance of that? That Krishna is everything to the devotee. He is your caretaker, he is your guide, he is the very life air, pranadan, is your life air, the very breath you breathe is Krishna. And then he sums up the song, Krishnera samsara koro charyanachara jiva doya Krishna nam savadamasara. Giving up all improper behavior, carry on your worldly duties only in relation to Krishna. The showing of compassion to all fallen souls by loudly chanting the holy name of Krishna is the essence of all forms of religion. So this is an inspirational verse for those of us in Kali Yuga. Here we are in the material realm, and how do we do this? How do we perform this in the Western countries? How do we see Krishna as our mother, Krishna as our father? And how do we always chant Krishna? How do we always see Krishna? We can do all of our duties and we can do all of our activities, but we have to do them giving up the improper behavior and do it for Krishna. So it's right here that, yeah, you can engage in your family activities or your educational activities, but you're doing it for Krishna. Don't see that it's not for Krishna. And then once you have your situation set, then and at the same time of building it, you are engaging Krishna's service. You're engaging others in Krishna's service. By giving them the Sankirtan. So let's just start this. So one day, So this chapter 13 of the Madhyakand in Chaitanya Bhagavat is a description of Jagai Madai. And we won't read it all. I'm just going to read portions. So one day Lord Chaitanya gave an order to Nityananda and Haridas. He said, "Listen, listen, O Nityananda, listen, O Haridas. In every respect, follow the order I will now give you. Go to everyone's home with this request. Please chant Krishna's name, worship Krishna, and teach others about Krishna. Bolo Krishna, Bhaja Krishna, Koro Krishna Sika. Don't tell them anything else. Make them chant. At the end of the day, come back and tell me what happened." So here, okay, hey, we're sitting around here. All right, listen, why don't you go out and tell everybody about Krishna, make them worship Krishna, teach them about Krishna, and then come back out, you just come back and tell me what happens. And this is similar, Prabhupada, when he first started book distribution, you know, he said, all right, go, you know, what are we going to do with all these books? And then when Prabhupada heard, you know, the books going out, he became so enthusiastic. Yeah, tell me, how are these books going out? It's wonderful. So Lord Chaitanya was getting that same enthusiasm. Hearing this order, the Vaishnava smiled. Who has the power to disobey the Lord Chaitanya's order? So Lord Nityananda carried this order on his head. Persons who have no faith in this order have no intelligence. Lord Advaita happily destroys anyone who serves Lord Nityananda but has no faith in Lord Chaitanya. So that's an important point for those who were brought up in Bengal. There are some factions that believe in Lord Chaitanya, but they don't believe in Nityananda, or vice versa. And Krishnadas Kaviraj gives an explanation also at the end of Adi Lila, chapter 5, about his direct understanding of this. So that's a long story, but basically he whittles it down. If you accept Lord Chaitanya without Nityananda, that's like the philosophy of accepting half a hen. Right? So the half a hen philosophy is that, well, I like this side of the hen that is giving the eggs, but this side, the head, is always eaten. I always have to put money into the head side. But I like this side because I get something. So I'm going to cut off the head. But then that philosophy is foolish because you no longer get any more results. So if you're accepting Lord Chaitanya without Nityananda or vice versa, then it is like that philosophy. It is foolish, less intelligent. So the Nityananda and Haridas, they go out and they going from house to house. Nityananda and Haridas said, "Please give us this in charity." So they're dressed as sannyasis. They're going door to door, right? And so in those times when sannyasi comes, they want to give charity. So they're not asking for, you know, anna for rice or grains or for coins. They're saying, or in those days, I think the currency was conch shells. But they're saying, give this in charity. Chant Krishna's name, worship Krishna, and teach others about Krishna. Bolo Krishna, Bhaja Krishna, Koro Krishna Sika. After speaking these words, they would leave, and the pious people became happy. After hearing these wonderful words from the mouths of the two devotees, different people spoke different replies and felt happy in different ways. Some people happily say, "I will do it, I will do it." Other people said, "You two are misled by bad advice." So even back then, there was the inimical, right? Of course, in those days, Bengal was over flooded with tantric worshiping, worshiping of goddess Kali. It was when we heard, I hope maybe last week you heard when Advaita was begging Lord Chaitanya to come. This was the state of Bengal. It was everything was clouded over. The Vaishnava culture was clouded over. So he wanted Lord Chaitanya to come and relieve that. So there were still remnants of this. And Nityananda, they would run into it. So they would go on. Every day they went from house to house, returning to Lord Chaitanya and told him everything. But then one day, they saw on the street two very drunken thieves. The drunkards talked without stopping. There wasn't a sin they hadn't committed. Though born in Brahmin families, they drank wine and ate cow's flesh. They were always stealing and seeing others' homes and setting others' homes on fire. The police ordered them to go to the king's high court, but they did not go. They will not let the time pass without drinking wine and eating flesh. So, sounds like a Gator football game, right? They both fell down and began to roll about on the ground. Soon they were punching each other. From a distance, Nityananda, Haridas, and many others watched the drunkard's antics. One moment, the two drunkards were affectionate to each other. The next moment, they were pulling each other's hair. They loudly spoke obscene words to each other. They destroyed the reputation of the Brahmanas of Nadia. Wine destroyed all good fortune. All the sins had taken birth in the bodies of these two. The only sin they did not commit was the sin of blaspheming a Vaishnava. So because their company in drunkenness was always drunkards, there weren't too many Vaishnavas in that company. But now, because Lord Chaitanya said, go out and preach to everyone, so now they're going to get the opportunity to do this one final sin. Day and night they associated with drunkards. Still, they never came in contact with Vaishnavas. Even elevated and respectful people lose all their piety if they blaspheme Vaishnavas. So rolling on the ground, the two drunkards fought, punching each other, staying far away. Nityananda and Haridas watched. Lord Nityananda asked some of the people there, who are these men? Why do they act like that? The people replied, Lord, these two men are Brahmanas. Their glorious mother and father were born in very exalted family. For generation after generation, there was not even half a sesame seed worth of fault in their family staying in Nadia. So this Vrindavan Das Thakur uses this analogy quite often, half a sesame seed worth. So he uses it again and again, and it's kind of nice. It means not even half a sesame seed worth. So they were actually in a very good family. But then these two men have forgotten righteousness. From their birth, they have always sinned in this way. When people see them, people fear that someday these two men will set their homes on fire. There is no sin that they have not committed. They are thieves, drunkards, and meat eaters. Hearing these words, Lord Nityananda became very merciful at heart. He then decided to deliver them. He thought, Lord Chaitanya descended to this world to save the sinners. Who is more sinner than these two? Lord Chaitanya conceals his true glory in opulence. Unaware of his true glory, the people mock him. If Lord Chaitanya is merciful to these two, then the whole world will see his glory. If I can bring these two to their senses, then I, Nityananda, will be a true servant to Lord Chaitanya. These two men are so drunk, they don't even know who they are. If they could become rapt and chanting Lord Krishna's holy name, they could call out, O my Lord, and weep. Then my travels in this world will be successful. So this is where we really get a glimpse of Lord Nityananda's mercy. When we say he is so merciful, this is a glimpse of what he's thinking. Oh, if we could just get these, look at, they're putting so much energy in what they're doing now. They could have that same energy in chanting Krishna's name. How wonderful that would be. Lord Nityananda's glory is an ocean that has no shore. He descended to this world to deliver the fallen people. Thinking for a moment, Lord Nityananda said to Haridas, Haridas, look at how these two are misled. And then, again, he's describing his desire to deliver them. But then Haridas, he's a little hesitant. Well, I don't know about these two guys. I mean, we haven't approached anyone like this before. So, so back and forth, they're saying, but Nityananda is saying, no, let's go. Come on, they're right here in front of us. Let's go talk to them. So, by the Lord's order, So he said, let's go talk to them. To speak to these two is our duty. Whether chant the holy names or not, it is in the power of the Lord. To repeat to them Chaitanya's order, Nityananda and Haridas approached the two sinners. The respectful people said, don't go near them, save your lives. Because of these two, we are so afraid of our own lives. How could we bear to see you approach them? So then as they're approaching, people say, no, don't do it, don't do it. Bad idea. You know, we're always afraid of them. In spite of all these warnings, and chanting Krishna, Krishna, Nityananda and Haridas happily approached the two sinners. Coming close, so the sinners could hear them, they loudly repeated the Lord's order. What is it? Bolo Krishna, Bolo Krishna. And Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Dana Pran. Say, worship Krishna, chant Krishna's name. Krishna is your mother, Krishna is your father, Krishna is your wealth of your life. Lord Krishna has now descended to this world to save all of you. Please, give up your sins and worship Lord Krishna. Hearing these shouted words, the two sinners lifted their heads and looked. What's going on here? And their eyes were red with great anger. Lifting their heads and seeing these two sannyasis, the two sinners called out, catch them, and ran to catch them. Nityananda and Haridas fled, running after them. The two thieves called out, stop, stop. Shouting insults, the two drunkards ran in pursuit. Frightened, the two devotees fled. The people said, we warned them. Now the two sannyasis are in danger. Within their hearts, the materialists and offenders laughed. They said, it is right that Nityananda punished these hypocrites. Krishna, protect them. Krishna, protect them. Everyone said. So they were on this big chase now, this big chase through Nadia, the streets of Nadia. And then, Jagai Madai were chasing Nityananda and Haridas. They wanted to beat them. And so, as they're running, you can just picture this, Nityananda is running and Haridas is running, and then they start talking to each other. Haridas said, first Nityananda said, if we live through this, we will be very good Vaishnavas indeed. And Haridas said, my lord, why do you talk? Because of your ideas, we're running away from death. Because you thought it would be a good idea to teach these drunkards about Lord Krishna, our lives are about to end. As they spoke in this way, Lord Nityananda laughed and laughed as he ran. Chasing him, the two thieves shouted insults. The two drunkards, being both fat and big, they could not run very fast. Still, they ran as fast as they could. The two thieves said, brothers, why are you running? Why are you fleeing from us? We just want to talk to you. But no, they wouldn't. But then hearing them, the two devotees continued to run in fear, saying, Krishna, save us, Govinda, they called out. Then there was more talk between Haridas and Nityananda. Haridas said, aware that I am with such troublemaker, I don't have any power to continue running. Lord Krishna protected me from the Muslims, but because of certain troublemaking ideas, I will now lose my life. So we know the story of Haridas Thakur. He was beaten in so many places because of his converting to Hinduism, but of course he converted to Lord Chaitanya's movement, so he was beaten. Again and again he was beaten, but he was saved by the Lord. But now he's saying, well, I don't think I'm going to be able to get out of this one. Lord Nityananda said, I'm not a troublemaker. Look inside your heart. Your master, he is the troublemaker. Even though he's a Brahmin, your master gives orders as if he were a king. It's because of his order that we are going from house to house saying all these things. So they're joking. They're joking words as they're running, having a good jog through Nadia. So there's more talking like that. But then, turning around for the moment, the devotees looked to see if the two thieves were still chasing them. And the devotees could not see them. Stopping, the two devotees embraced, laughing, and they went to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was sitting down. His eyes were like lotus flowers. His every limb was handsome, and he was more enchanting than Kamadev. The circle of Vaishnavas was in four directions. Everyone was conversing about Lord Krishna. At that time, Nityananda and Haridas came before the Lord to report the day's activities. They said, Today we saw two odd people. We were told that they used to be brahmanas, but now they are drunkards. To do good to them, we said, please chant Lord Krishna's name. They became unhappy and chased us. Fortunately, we're still alive. So Lord Chaitanya wondered, well, who are these two? Maybe I should go and cut them down. Lord Chaitanya says, if these two sinners come before me, I will cut them to pieces, into pieces. Lord Nityananda said, if you break those two sinners to pieces, I will not stay here anymore. So he's threatening, you know, if you do what you say, I'm going to leave, you know. Why are you angry with them? Let me make them chant Govinda. If we deliver them and give them devotional service, then we will be known as Patita Pavana, the deliverer of the fallen. By delivering me, you became glorious. If you deliver these two sinners, your glory will become much greater. Smiling, Lord Chaitanya said, the moment they saw you, they were at once delivered. If you are worried for their welfare, then Lord Krishna will soon give them auspiciousness. So here's Lord Chaitanya giving the benediction that they're already delivered by your mercy. You know, this is just pastime now. So then they go out again. They say, yeah, let's go out again. Lord Chaitanya gives them his blessings again to go out and see them. So they go out again. And we know that the rest of that story. Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda again approaches them and says the same, Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita. At this time, I don't know, but if Lord Chaitanya was 20 when they met and he left Nadia when he was 25, so he's somewhere between 33 and 36, I would say. Let me see here. I wanted to pick up with that. Okay. Yeah, so. Okay, so then again, as he wandered through the city, Lord Nityananda again approached the two drunkards. Who is this? Jagannath Mahadev called out. Nityananda replied, I am going to Lord Chaitanya's house. Bewildered by wine, they said, what's your name? Nityananda replied, my name is Avadhut. Avadhut means one who's, you know, free from all material designations. He doesn't take much care in bodily designations. So Nityananda, who was always in the mood of a small boy, playfully conversed with the two drunkards. So he's kind of joking with them, chiding with them. But then Madai got upset, and he picked up the earthen pot and angrily struck Nityananda on the head. When he was hit by the pot, blood flowed from his head. Lord Nityananda then meditated on Lord Krishna. Seeing the blood on the Lord's head, Jagai felt compassionate. When Madai raised his hand to strike again, Jagai said, why are you acting like that? You're very cruel, merciless. Why did you hit this person? Stop, don't do it again. How will any good come to you if you hit a sannyasi? The people frantically ran to Lord Chaitanya and told him what had happened. Accompanied by many devotees, Lord Chaitanya went there at once. Blood had flowed all over Lord Nityananda's body. Lord Nityananda was smiling at the two drunkards. Seeing the blood, Lord Chaitanya became angry. Now he was not aware of the external world. So he just focused on these two persons. And he called, Chakra, Chakra. He called out again and again. The Sudarshan Chakra came at once. Jagai and Madai saw it with their own eyes. The devotees thought a great calamity was about to fall. Lord Nityananda quickly approached and begged, "Lord, Madai wanted to hit me, but Jagai stopped him. Because of my past karma, some blood has fallen. I am not unhappy. Lord, please give to me the bodies of these two. I am not at all unhappy. Please be peaceful." So Lord Chaitanya, he's about to take their life. So once he does that, then their bodies belong to him, I guess, in a chivalrous, chivalrous code. If you defeat one to death, then they are yours. So he said, "Don't just give them to me instead." Hearing these words, Jagai stopped him. "Please be peaceful." And Jagai stopped Madhai more. Joyful, Lord Chaitanya then embraced Jagai. He said to Jagai, May Lord Krishna be merciful to you. By protecting Nityananda, you have purchased me. You may ask any desire you see in your heart. From today on, you will have pure love and devotion for Lord Krishna. Hearing this boon given to Jagai, all the devotees made a great sound of Jai, Jai, and Hari, Hari. When Lord Chaitanya said, "You will have pure love and devotion for Lord Krishna," Jagai at once fell unconscious, overwhelmed with love. And so this was the deliverance of Jagai. And then there was still Madai, right? So grasping the Lord's feet, Jagai wept. And this Lord Chaitanya enjoyed his pastimes. One life lived in the two bodies of Jagai and Madai. The same piety and the same sin stayed in both of them. When the Lord gave mercy to Jagai, Madai's heart at once became purified. Madai, neglecting Nityananda, hurriedly grasped Lord Chaitanya's feet and fell down like a stick. He said, "Lord, Jagai and I are both committed the same sins. Why are you not merciful to me too? Please be merciful to me. I will chant your name. Only you and no one else can deliver me." Lord Chaitanya said, "I will not protect you. You made blood fall from Nityananda's body." Madai said, "You cannot say this, Lord. How can you abandon your own religious principles? Why did you give your feet to the demons who was wounded with your arrows?" Lord Chaitanya said, "You made blood flow from Nityananda's body. Therefore, your offense is greater than theirs. Nityananda's body is more dear to me than my own. What I tell you is very true." Then Madai said, "Lord, if you are telling me the truth, then please tell me, how may I be saved? You are the crest jewel of physicians. You destroy all diseases. Please cure my disease so that I may become well. Lord, please don't trick me. You are the master of the universe. It is known. From whom can you hide it?" So you are the Lord of the universe. You can't hide it. Lord Chaitanya said, "You had committed a great offense. You must fall down before Nityananda and grasp his feet." Following this order, Madai held the priceless treasure that is Lord Nityananda's feet. Anyone who holds Lord Nityananda's feet will never perish. Lord Chaitanya said, "Listen, Nityananda. He has fallen at your feet. You must be merciful to him. He made blood flow from your body. Therefore, only you can forgive him." Lord Nityananda said, "Lord, what can I say? It is you who should be merciful to them. It is you who have the power." So on and on this goes. And this deliverance of Jagai Madai is so wonderful that we really feel that, and then I just wanted to tie it into Srila Prabhupada. This is an appreciation in the biography. In every town and village, Prabhupada is, in that time of ISKCON, he's traveling extensively, so much so. Jetage Parivrajakacharya, one chapter is called. He's traveling and traveling. And so there's this appreciation at the end of one of those chapters. Srila Prabhupada can be appreciated not only generally as the empowered representative of God, but specifically as a manifestation of Lord Nityananda. According to Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, Lord Krishna manifests himself to the souls of ordinary men through Lord Nityananda. The individual soul requires the help of God to realize God. This help comes by the causeless mercy of Lord Nityananda, who is therefore known as the original Guru. Although Lord Nityananda is the direct expansion of Lord Chaitanya, his pastime is to serve Lord Chaitanya by redeeming the fallen souls. Lord Nityananda and his representative, the spiritual master, do not alter scriptures or the teachings of Lord Krishna, but make them more accessible and understanding. Lord Chaitanya commissioned Lord Nityananda to preach the holy name at every door, and Lord Nityananda's exemplary mood of vigorous, compassionate preaching was also the mood of Srila Prabhupada. As Srila Prabhupada imparted this mood to his disciples, they in turn went out into the streets and cities of the world to distribute to everyone the mercy of the holy name of God. Lord Nityananda is especially renowned for saving two drunkards, Jagai and Madhai, even though they had assaulted him when he had attempted to bless them with the holy name. In Lord Nityananda's time, Prabhupada on several occasions explained, there were only one Jagai and Madhai, but now the whole world is filled with Jagais and Madhais. As Prabhupada was recruiting his disciples from these Jagais and Madhais, Srila Prabhupada fully displayed Lord Nityananda's compassion in taking all risks and freely giving the holy name. Even Lord Nityananda himself, during his appearance in India, did not approach as many fallen souls as Srila Prabhupada, nor did he approach souls in such degraded conditions of life. So this is a glorification now of Prabhupada being a manifestation and continued mercy of Lord Nityananda. So that's, wanted to end on that note, and we can